This podcast replay is brought to you by Cutter's Edge Total Landscape Solutions. With decades of experience here in South Florida, cuttersedge.com provides fantastic results. Call 954-472-0622.
All right, Daniel Popper is ready to go. All right, let's talk a little Chargers football. We had some developments in Chargers camp as Mike Williams was upgraded from limited practice to full participant. So it looks like the Miami Dolphins will be facing Keenan and Mike Williams, their exceptional pair. I know Mike has had a slew of injuries throughout his career. He's always battled injuries, even coming out of Clemson. Daniel, how you doing, baby? We haven't talked in a while, my friend. What's up?
I know. It's been years. I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Excellent, man. You know, we kind of went on our own, which is something you can do nowadays. And it's gone really well for us, my brother. We got like 14 insiders that are exclusive to us on the platform, you know, exclusive in South Florida. They can't be on local stations and all that good stuff. So pumping over 20 million downloads this year. So, man, we're doing all right. We're kicking it. Yeah. It's nice to kind of go on your own and all that. I haven't done any Sirius in a while. That's where I used to bring you on all the time on Sirius. Right. We used to talk all the time. And you were back on the East Coast in those days,
yeah,
right?
Jacksonville. Yeah. I was in Florida.
Yeah, you were in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And now you've been out there on the left coast for a while. So how have you adjusted to the left coast, my friend?
It's not hard to adjust out here. Buy a surfboard and spend a lot of time outside. That's pretty much the way you adjust.
So are you a surfer for real? Yet. Are you a surfer?
I don't know if I'd call myself a surfer. I have a foam board and I get out as much as I can.
Okay.
I like it. It's fun. It's a good way to get outside, get off the phone, that sort of thing. I'm not like a hardcore person though. That's, you know, up at 5 a.m. getting out there every single Saturday. I wish I was, but I don't have the itch quite that bad.
No, you actually have a real job, so you really can't afford to. You know, you cover a business that's year round anyways, as it is. You know what I'm saying? It's just tough enough to cover the NFL, brother. It's every day. So exactly. I guess the news is good for Mike Williams practicing today?
Yeah, so he was a full participant in practice today. We were out there earlier today watching individual drills. He was running full routes, moving well. So I would fully expect him to play unless there's some sort of setback between now and Sunday. But it's certainly looking good.
What's your assessment of the Chargers team this year at 6-6?
Yeah, you know, they've been incredibly injured. And I feel like, you know, when you're assessing the season, you kind of have to start there. I mean, you can go through all these injuries, especially offensively. Keenan missed a ton of time. Mike's missed a ton of time. They're out Rashawn Slater. They're starting left tackle. They're starting center, all-pro center. Corey Linsley's been in and out. They've been down. Their number two tight end, Justin Herbert, was battling through his own injury to his ribs that he's sort of gotten past in recent weeks since the bye week. They lost their top corner, J.C. Jackson. They lost Joey Bosa in week three. So it's just been battling to stay in these games and to stay in this season amid all of these injuries. And they're still in the mix. So you have to give the coaching staff some credit there. I don't think they've been anywhere close to the type of team everyone expected, but you have to, you know, factor in these injuries when you're discussing where the Chargers at and how they're playing.
Daniel, the coaching staff gets its share of criticism all over the place. You just gave them some credit for hanging in there. Tell us about this coaching staff, because I don't think that, you know, the head coach is getting a good rap around the league. So your thoughts on the head coach and the staff?
Yeah, I think a lot of the criticism last year came from his fourth down decision-making and some of his aggressive decisions in those situations. And, you know, I've written about it ad nauseum. I've talked about it ad nauseum. You pretty much fall on one side or the other about this. You know, I talked to my father about it, who, you know, grew up watching the 80s Giants, and we have very differing views on how to approach decision-making and analytics and all of these things. So, it comes with the territory. When you're going to make decisions that way, you're going to get some backlash. You know, I think where some of the criticism is actually warranted is that these defenses have not played well. And they hired Brandon Staley because of his defensive acumen, and they've been pretty poor on defense the last two seasons. They spent a lot of money on this defense in the offseason. Now, they've had some injuries on that side of the ball, but they have not been able to stop the run with any level of consistency. They've been really mediocre on third down, especially in third and longs. They have not generated enough pass rush. And so I think if you're going to criticize the coaching staff, you can start there. And then offensively, you know, Joe Lombardi is running the show. He came from the Saints and Sean Payton. He's running a very similar offense. I think a lot of people have issues with sort of the design of the offense and how Justin Herbert doesn't push the ball downfield. Last year, I had no issues with the offense. They were a top five offense in efficiency. This year, it's been related to injuries, you know, not having your top two receivers on the field. I mean, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen have played 49 snaps together this season.
But the Palmer kid did all right filling in, dude.
Yeah, he's a quality player. You know, they drafted him in the third round last year, but yeah. He's still in the developmental phase of his career. He's not a number one receiver, and he's probably not a number two receiver at this point. He was supposed to be the third wide receiver, and he's had to take on a much bigger role. And then, you know, in recent weeks, the pass protection has suffered, but you lose your starting left tackle and your all-pro centers in and out, and that's going to impact things. They can't run the ball. That's the big issue with them offensively right now, is they're just not – they don't block well enough up front, and that's the offensive linemen, but also the tight ends are pretty miserable blocking. And so teams aren't respecting their rushing attack, and so they can just throw bodies into coverage, put a shell on things, and that's really impacted the offense. But, you know, they're not a very good offense right now. A lot of that is injury-related, but some of the, you know, issues that people have talked about are popping up, whether that's pushing the ball downfield, creating explosive, those types of things. And I think, you know, it's really, you know, reached a breaking point this season offensively amid all the injuries.
Sounds like a lot of the shit that Tua had to deal with the first 2 years, where it was a really right. poor offense around him. Terrible coaches, by the way, because we had the Three Stooges down here deciding what play to give Tua every 40 seconds. I mean, yeah, you know, that's kind of crazy to have three guys deciding plays. You know, it wasn't one offensive coordinator or three people involved into his ear. And that's just, you know, just insanity what was going on, you know, overall offensively. So it's interesting how, you know, Tua's having one hell of a year this year overall. I know he had a shitty week last week. But obviously why? McDaniel and the talent around him, even though he's had his share of injuries too on the offensive line. But still, that wasn't like last week against the Niners. The Niners didn't beat him, actually. Tua just missed a whole bunch of open guys that he normally hits. He hits those guys, they probably win that game against San Francisco, you know, last week. And they've had their share of injuries. But it's interesting how Herbert has had to deal with some of the stuff that Tua had to deal with the first 2 years.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I'm actually writing about this week. I mean, my biggest takeaway is that context matters when you're judging and assessing quarterback. And it's kind of the fascinating part to me is that Justin Herbert got off to this really hot start. Oh, the Chargers, you know, lucked in to the better quarterback, Tua is awful, the Dolphins missed, and now the script has flipped entirely. And it's not that these guys are getting better or worse or whatever. It's the context around them, you know, and Tua finally has a legitimate play caller, a legitimate schemer. He has talent around him. Until these recent injuries, they've, you know, been able to protect him. And all of a sudden, he looks like the player everyone expected him to be. Justin Herbert had that last year. The protection was phenomenal. He had all of his receivers healthy and weapons healthy. He's a top five quarterback in the league, a top five offense. This year, he goes through some more adversity. And now everyone's saying that Justin Herbert is bad and that the Chargers whiffed on the pick. It's like, I don't know why we have to go to these extremes. But I think when assessing quarterbacks, especially early on in their careers, when they're still on their rookie deals, context is super important. And we've seen the context flip for these two quarterbacks over these 3 years, which is really fascinating heading into this matchup.
Listen, my brother, I was the like one of the few in the media the last 2 years telling everybody that Tua is not the problem at all. He's doing a terrific job under the circumstances that he has. The problem is the head coach. He can't figure out an offensive staff and the talent around him. And I was called a nutbag by many people. And, you know, I was one of the few people in the media and definitely here in South Florida, probably one of the only ones in the media that was just blaming everything that wasn't Tua. And now, context, bro. You get a real coach. You get real talent around Tua. I kept telling everybody, okay, so at Alabama, he had real coaches, real offense, real offensive players, and he played at an incredibly high level. He comes here, and everything is poor compared to what he had. How do you think he's going to perform? You know what I mean? I told people, they're not old enough, but Steve Young was in Tampa, and he sucked. He was horrible. But Bill Walsh knew that it was about Tampa, not him. And he went and plucked him and brought him to San Francisco, and the rest is history. That happens to a lot of players. If you're in the wrong environment, it's hard for you to have, you know, the kind of success or reach your pinnacle.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a larger conversation here about like how we as a society discuss things. But I feel like people want to always pin the blame on something specific. Like it has to be one thing. And so if Tua is not playing well, it's his fault. Or it's the coaching staff's fault or whatever it is. But in football, and this is something I've realized covering the league now for, you know, 7-8 years or whatever, it's never one thing in football, ever. There's always multiple facets to every single issue. That's why people call it the ultimate team game. That's not just a cliche. That's the reality. Yeah. And so, like, I think a lot of people, if they're going on TV or whatever they're doing, they want to find the one thing to blame. When in reality, if you actually want to be accurate, you have to find 5, 6 different things that are going wrong on these specific plays and these specific games that are leading to failures.
Your assessment of Justin Herbert overall, you've now watched him from day one as a Charger.
Yeah, he's an elite quarterback. I think a lot of people are down on him this year for whatever reason. I think he's played exceptionally well. And I think the one thing that you can point to is just how well he's protected the football despite all of the pressure and despite all of these missing pieces, despite all of the adversity that this offensive group has gone through. He's really been good at protecting the ball in terms of turnovers and not taking sacks. And that's really where he is super, super elite, is avoiding the catastrophic plays. And I think in recent weeks, since the bye week, since he's gotten healthier, you're starting to see him make more of the off-script plays that we're used to, getting the ball downfield. There was a 4th-and-12 touchdown that he threw to Keenan Allen in the Raiders game. That was just a ridiculous throw. He's still the same guy. If anything, he's even better mentally now than he was last season. He's audibling at the line. He's making changes. He's adjusting protections in a way that he wasn't last year. I think if this offense had all of its pieces, I think you'd see him taking that next step from like a numbers and statistics standpoint. But watching the film and watching him play, like, he's still just as good as he has been. And he's getting better, even better, in terms of his mental game, how he approaches things at the line of scrimmage. I think if you look at the statistics, the reason they're not where they are usually is just because of all these injuries they've had on offense, primarily.
How about what would you say to the naysayers? Because one of the things for me, for him, I don't know if there are enough of those wow games and clutch performances, even dating back to Oregon. And, you know, when I watch Josh Allen play like a maniac, I don't know if I see him play like that, whether it's running or just taking more chances with the football and putting it in tighter windows and those kind of things. You tell me a little bit more about Justin Herbert, the clutch player.
Yeah. Well, if we're talking about clutch, I think that is a little bit misguided, because he has the same number of game-winning fourth-quarter drives in his career as Patrick Mahomes in one fewer season. So, like, he's led a lot of these fourth-quarter drives. I think he's in those situations a lot, and people like to focus on the negatives, but he's been very clutch. I mean, he just did it against Arizona, leading him, you know, 40 yards for a touchdown, and then he threw the go-ahead 2-point conversion to win that game. He is a very clutch player. I can say that unequivocally. The other part of it is interesting, because as a quarterback, he is not Josh Allen in terms of how he plays. Like, he is not a gunslinger at all whatsoever. Like, he's the polar opposite of Phillip Rivers and Brett Favre in that regard. He wants to be perfect, and so he values protecting the football. Now, will he fit the ball into tight windows? Absolutely. He certainly has the skill set to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But he's relatively risk averse when you compare him to some of these gunslinger quarterbacks. And that's something to remember too, because again, we want to blame one thing, right? Okay, it's Joe Lombardi and it's the play calling. Well, part of it too is that Justin Herbert is an immensely fast processor, and he gets through his reads so quickly because he is a perfectionist. And so if the read is telling him to check it down, he's going to check it down and he's going to make the right decision. Now, does that lead to him maybe avoiding some plays that could be made downfield? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Because
you got to have a little bit of that in you.
He does.
In order to be Mahomes, in order to be any of those great quarterbacks, you're going to have to take some chances at times. And I don't know if I see him as an incredibly athletic quarterback, but I also see a very conservative nature to his game. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you can't play like that all the time, because it's going to limit you from actually excelling in some key moments and some big games. You're going to go up against another gunslinger in Pat Mahomes at times. You're going to have to match him, and you're going to have to beat him, because he's willing to take some chances.
Yeah, and I think Justin Herbert is willing to take those chances, but it's like what we were talking about earlier. What is he really elite at? Well, he's very elite at protecting the football and avoiding catastrophic plays. And one of the reasons he's so good at that is because he's always making the right decision. And so, like, there is positivity to that conservative element, to that perfectionist element in terms of what he does as a decision maker. But I think, like, in order for him to take that next step and be in that top echelon of quarterbacks, a little more aggressiveness and maybe, you know, toning down that conservative nature is probably in his best interest. But then, like, okay, he makes that change in terms of how he's throwing the ball and the decisions that he's making. And then, you know, he throws 3 interceptions in a game for the first time. And then what are people saying, right? So it's like there's positives and negatives to all of it. I think it's all about, you know, getting that right mixture. And, you know, he's still a young player, and I think he's going to find that eventually.
All right. Daniel, Vegas had the Dolphins favored by 2.5 on the road, then 3. Now it's gone to 3.5. Why? Explain to me why. I mean, I'm pretty confident about the Dolphins this week. I think Tua's going to come out on fire after playing like he played last week, because I hadn't seen him throw the ball that badly at all since he's been a Dolphin. So you tell me, why are the Dolphins favored by 3.5 in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, I think initially when the line comes out, like the Dolphins being favored makes a lot of sense to me. The Chargers can't stop the run. Like, they're 733rd out of 734 defenses dating back to 2000 in yards per carry on design rushes.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. They were dead last.
How did you pull up that stat, dude?
Our True Media. Shout out to True Media. It's a website that we subscribe to. But yeah, heading into last week, they were 734th out of 734 defenses.
Wow.
Now they moved up to 733rd after giving up 144 rushing yards to Josh Jacobs on Sunday. The only defense worse is the 2013 Bears. So they can't stop the run. And yeah, this offense is really good at pushing the ball downfield and creating explosives in the passing game. But ultimately, it was built on the running game. And that's like that's how Mike McDaniel made himself into a head coach in the National Football League. And they will run the ball at you if you're going to give them light boxes and you can't stop it. And so I think that's sort of where it starts. I think it's probably moved because Corey Linsley, you know, is dealing with this concussion. I'd be curious to see what happens now that he's back a full participant. Mike's back a full participant today. I imagine that line might move a little bit more, but I think it starts with, you know, the matchup of the Dolphins offense against the Chargers defense and how much Vegas likes the Dolphins offense in that matchup, because the Chargers give up a ton of explosive plays in the passing game and they can't really stop the run. And that's a terrible recipe against this offense.
What are you picking? Who are you picking this week?
Spread or just straight up?
Straight up.
Straight up, I think it's going to be a tight Dolphins win, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people expect. I mean, the Chargers get up for these big games. You know, Brandon Staley, in terms of his defensive scheming, gets up for these big games. Derwin James hasn't practiced this week, which concerns me a little bit. You know, so much of what they do defensively is based on how much Derwin moves around. I think it's going to still going to, if Derwin plays, I think it'll be a little bit tighter. I think like a 1 or 2 point Dolphins win is where I have it.
All right, there you go. Daniel Popper, baby. Follow him on Twitter. More importantly, also check him out at The Athletic. You know, The Athletic has always got some great deals going on, and you can always subscribe. Well, what's the latest deal? Like 42 cents a month or something like that? No, but usually they've got great deals. Go to The Athletic. Follow my man on Twitter like I do at Daniel Popper. Daniel, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you immensely.
Awesome. Great catching up. Thanks for having me.
You got it, baby. Be good. There you go. The lucky man out there covering the Chargers. He's out in the left coast, California. I do love visiting California. It is fun. I don't know if, you know, for Daniel, it would have been better if he was in San Diego, because San Diego is so freaking awesome. But now he's in Los Angeles. The traffic there, man. It is so fun to hang out in California. But the traffic in California drives your ass crazy.